Praise the Lord. Amen. Go over and turn over to 2 Thessalonians 3. It's really neat how God puts together services. And here in our text will be in 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. And the thought in the text isn't primarily the Lord's return, but we do have that thought in there. The last verse we'll read refers to the waiting for Christ. But if you know anything about 2 Thessalonians, it's packed full of end time stuff, right? And so in that first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, it's absolutely setting up the coming of our Lord. And it's just absolutely amazing. Verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Verse 8 of chapter 1 says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so we see that first chapter. Then the second chapter is where we really see the coming of Christ and the revealing of the Antichrist and the removing of the restrainer, which we know to be the Holy Spirit. I believe also references the saints as well. And so the first couple of chapters there's only three in 2 Thessalonians, but the first two chapters is absolutely dealing with the second coming of Christ. Amen. It's tremendous. And so with that as a backdrop, let's go ahead and look at chapter 3 now. And I just want to bring out the first five verses here of 2 Thessalonians 3. And I'm just going to try to stay contained to this passage and just spend some time there and break this down for us. And then hopefully spend a little more time tonight night praying. I think that'd be a blessing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1 says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord," verse 5, "and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ." Boy, sure does require patience, doesn't it? Amen. We look around and we like for the Lord to come a little quicker. Amen. Even so, Jesus, amen, come. But we know that there's a reason that all men would be saved, right? And come to that knowledge. And so we know that he's long-suffering in that. And so we patiently wait. We're looking forward to it. Amen. But let's go ahead and pray. Then we'll jump into this text. God, thank you for the opportunity to meet together tonight. Thank you for the good song service, Lord, the good fellowship. Before the service, the singing, God, just everything, God, it's just tremendous, Lord. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to have things to look forward to as we just got to hear a couple things in the announcements. And Lord, we're already in the thick now of 2022, and so many things are coming up. And we're just so grateful, Lord, to have these things to do and to be a part. A lot of witnessing opportunities, a lot of opportunities to help. Even trying to get some people to include Luke in the state house, Lord, trying to make some changes there. There's just a lot going on, Lord. And we're so thankful, God, to be a part of a group of people that are active, a church, a called out assembly that takes our role serious and just wants to see some things take place while we're here, Lord, that might bring you honor and glory and be a help to people. And so God bless us in these endeavors. And Father, we do pray for the message tonight. I pray it would be an encouragement to all of us. And we thank you, God, for how you've worked today already in our lives. And we sure do need your help now in this message. And we pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, I do appreciate all those that prayed for me as we went to the fellowship meeting, CIIB, on Monday. And I was actually the first preacher to get up. And so I haven't actually been the first one in one of those. Kind of set the stage on some things. But I preached on edification and the role of a church, of ministers to edify, to build. And all that, and I think it went real well. It was mentioned of well, and then at the conclusion, the pastor that's hosting the next one asked if I'd preach at that one. So anyway, opportunities, amen. So just trying to be a help to people and just bring forth the word of God. And if God lets us help, let's just jump in, amen, and do what we can do. But I do praise the Lord for opportunities. But nonetheless, here in 2 Thessalonians 3, again, the book of 2 Thessalonians, it truly is a book with the end times as its theme, and the second coming of Christ, the events that will unfold at the revelation of the wicked one, the revealing of the wicked one. And so that's kind of the thought here as we go now into chapter 3. And so if there's a time frame on earth that we would say we are in the last days of the end times. We definitely would have to be us, amen, at just looking how things are, and definitely more so than in Paul's day. And yet we saw that Paul believed that the coming of the Lord was imminent. We believe in it's imminent, could be at any time. And I believe this prayer. So the thought of Wednesday nights again is on prayer and how to pray, what to pray for, how to engage in prayer. And we see that here. We're going to look at that. And I love the beginning of this. Paul says, brethren, pray for us that. There's always a purpose to our praying, amen. It's not just praying to pray. There's a reason behind it. There's always a focal point of it, because we're really asking God to do something. And I know there's other types of prayers, but this is a prayer of asking. This is a prayer of beseeching the throne of God, of asking God to be involved and including the saints in that. Amen. And very, very important. And how much more, even like assembling, as we see the day approaching, it becomes more and more important. Amen. Today's not the day to sit out on church. Amen. Today's the day to get close. Amen. We need close relationships. We need to know each other. We need that fellowship of the saints. We need that support structure in place. Amen. There's a lot of people today that when they have a need, and I've encountered a few of these already this year, you know, they have a need, but they come looking for a pastor. And I always ask the question, well, why didn't you go talk to your pastor? And I don't have one. I tell them, I said, you ought to get you one of those. Amen. You ought to get you a full-time pastor. Amen for you. But that's the reality. Amen. There are things that people need. And it's one of those things. I mean, it's just not the same when you go get you, you know, a pastor. There's no connection there. There's no relationship established. There's no co-laboring together. There's nothing like that. You need to be involved. And again, the Wednesday night, praise God, we're here, and you understand this, but just iterating it for the millionth time, amen, there's a reason we do what we do, amen. It's not for the good times, amen. It's for the laboring and for the hard times, amen. This is why we are connected. And can I say we live in the midst of some hard times? We live in the midst of some troublous times, amen. And so we see that all around us. And praise the Lord for the stability of the saints in the local church, amen. We need that. We need that individually, and we need to bring that forth to others. And if you don't have that in your church, then you won't have that to offer unto others as well, amen. And so this is speaking of the end times. And in the midst of this thought here, we find this concluding chapter, and Paul is going to request that these make prayer for him on a couple of things to start off. There's three things here in this first part of this passage, verses 1 through 5 of chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians. He says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Amen? A free course, not a hindered course. Paul said, pray that as the word of God is spoken, as it's preached. By the way, when we come together on Sundays or Wednesdays or, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school going on and all that, and all the other times throughout the week when the word of God is going forth from our members, we need to pray for each other that as the word of God is brought forth, that it's not hindered. Amen. The Bible's very specific on the fact that it can be hindered. Amen. There's a lot of things that can hinder the word of God. And on, there's some Sunday mornings, man, it's like just absolutely pushing a rock up a hill, amen, trying to preach. And when you recognize that, you need to pray and praying for your preacher, amen, because I can't do this on my own, amen. It's a group effort. This isn't just a one-man show, amen. This is a church. God has designed it as one man, but he's the head. It's a body that we make up as members, amen. It's not one individual. It is all of us. And so Paul, who absolutely was just amazing man of God, he understood how much he needed the saints to be engaged in this thing and in this ministry, amen, because it's not one, it's all, amen. It's a group. It's God putting something together so that not one of us can take credit for it, amen. It's all about God. It's all about what he is doing. He gets the glory, and it needs to be this way. But Paul said here to the saints, he said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, that it would go forth, it wouldn't be hindered, the devil wouldn't steal it away, that it would actually go forth and accomplish that which it's supposed to accomplish as it goes forth, amen, but have free course, to have a path that is unhindered. And then second we find here, he said, pray for us that the word of the Lord would be glorified. It says in this text that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. But we live in the day where the word of God needs to be glorified. Glorified in this text means to be honored. It means to be held up in esteem. Man, people blaspheme the name of God. They look at this book like it's just some ordinary book, or worse than that, less than that. There are those out there that are ripping pages out of Bibles and burning them and defecating on them and everything else. That's what's going on in our day, amen. Oh, that the Word of God would once again be restored to a proper place in our society and, of course, in people's lives, such that there is a respect once again for the Word of God. And if that's going to happen, it's got to start with us, amen. Amen. It's got to start with us. It's got to start with us respecting this book. And I believe you do. Amen. I hope that you do. But if you don't, amen, then, or something has slipped there. This isn't just a book. I don't know where I picked this up at a long time ago. No one taught me. There's a number of things in my life that's really just strange that just happened. And one of those is, I don't like setting anything on top of my Bible. If I have a stack of books, this is at the top. I don't like putting a coaster on it. I don't like putting a piece of paper on it. I don't like putting any, you say, that's silly. Is it? If this book is to be honored, it's not silly. We've had people come and make comment about the Bible we have up here. Just visitors just a couple weeks ago said, oh, that is really interesting. And so I pulled it out. We were looking at it. I said, you ever seen a 1611? I said, it's not the one we hold in our hands as far as the exact reading and all that. It's the text. But it's been Cambridge, 1769. It standardized all that. And she's like, what? And so I got to show her and all that, but never had seen that. Never. That's a blessing. But she made mention, that is so neat that you have that up in front. Well, why do we? Because it deserves a place of prominence in our auditorium, or if you want to call it a sanctuary, it's a sacred place. It deserves a place of honor. It's not just here as decoration. It's here to be honored. And by the way, that's why be careful with your kids running around in here. Amen? There's other places for that. But this is supposed to be a sacred place. This is supposed to be a holy place. This is supposed to be a place that we were opening the Word of God. Amen. The reverence needs to come back. We live in a very disrespectful day. A lot of things and a lot of people aren't honored anymore. But if one thing should be, it should be the very Word of God. It should be the Word, which is Christ, should be honored. Amen. And held in esteem. And we need to recognize that. But if it's going to happen out there, it has to first happen here. It's got to happen with us. Amen. And here he says, pray for us that the word of God would have free course and that it would be glorified, held in honor, a position of status and stature, of being magnified. It has that thought of magnification in this text. Amen. That the word of God would be so magnified that it would be seen again by people. Amen. And that's why whenever we talk to people and people ask us questions, we need to respond with the word of God. We need to respond with the scripture because our opinion it's not going to save anybody. Amen. But God's word can save souls. Amen. And be effectual in people's lives. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's what discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful word. It needs to be held in high regard. Oh, that the word of God will be restored to that place. Say, is that really going to happen in this day we live? Well, here in the day the Paul lived, he's praying for it, which means it wasn't. It wasn't being glorified. It was hindered. And if we read the book of Acts, we find all the places that the word of God was hindered in Paul's day. And can I say it's hindered in our day? We need to pray that it's not hindered. It has free course, and that it is glorified. Amen. That it is glorified. And then third, it says in our text, it says, pray that we may be delivered, amen, from unreasonable and wicked men who have not faith, amen, that they would be delivered, that they would be, in a sense, released from the grips of, amen, that they would not be hindered by or held down by. This word unreasonable literally means improper or injurious men, wicked men who mean to hurt the men and women and people of God. There are those out there that want to do more than just mock us, but want to hurt us. Amen. And by the way, we find account after account in Paul's day that it seemed like they were attracted to him. Amen. Or that he attracted them. And so there were those that wanted to stone him, that ran him out of town, they thronged. I mean, on and on and on. They were trying to. I mean, and I know he kind of, in a sense, reaped what he sowed a little bit. Amen. He was at the forefront of all that when he was lost. And so we do see a little of that. But he was praying that the word of the Lord would have free course. It would go forth as we preach it. And also, that means we need to be preaching it. Amen. We need to be speaking the word of truth. And by the way, you can speak the word of God without saying, this is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. You don't have to begin the word of God with a location in the Bible where it's at, amen. You can just speak the word of God, and it's just as powerful, amen. And so get used to speaking the word of God, and we need to pray that it has free course as each of us speak it, amen. From the pulpit, from the classroom, but also in our own individual lives. And then we need to pray that the word of God gains a prominent place, a place of glory, amen, not only in our lives, but then in our church, and then out and about, amen. And I don't take it lying down. I mean, if someone wants to mock the word of God, I let them know very quickly where I stand on the issue, amen. Not that I'm trying to defend it. I don't need to defend it, but I want them to know what they're doing, amen, and that they shouldn't be going against the word of God, amen? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is the very word of God that you're going to be judged by one day, amen? This is the very word that brought the worlds into existence. This is it. This is the word. This is the word that everything consists by. It's God's word, amen? And it is a powerful thing. And so we need to pray that it's restored to a place of prominence, and that we, as God's people, as we do God's work, are delivered from unreasonable and wicked men who have not faith. Amen? And so that's good. And so we find, first off, what did Paul ask them to pray for? Well, these three things. What can we count on from the Lord in this dark day that we live? Look at verse number 3. But the Lord is faithful. The first thing we can count on from the Lord is that the Lord is, he has been, he is, and he will be faithful. There will never be a day that the Lord stops being faithful. Amen. He is true. He is honest. He is sinless. He's completely faithful. He never has a bad day. Amen. He's not going to catch COVID. He's not going to find God in the hospital on a vent. Praise the Lord. He's not going to be scheduled for surgery anytime soon. Amen. He is always the same. We can count on him being the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is always there to hear us pray. He's always there when we need help. Amen? He is consistent, and we can always count on him to be in accordance with his word. He doesn't change. He's immutable. And he's not a liar, and he fulfills all his promises. He's not going to change because you want him to, or I want him to, or anybody wants him to. He changeth not. He is faithful. And every time you find a promise in the Word of God, you can claim that promise. And you can pray that promise back, and you can believe it and hang on to it, because he will always be faithful to his promises. Always. Amen. That's a blessing. I don't know about you, but for me, that is a blessing, because I am not always those things. Amen. But I'm sure I'm glad that God is. And I want to become more and more like him in these areas. Amen. I want to strive for that. But you don't have to. You can't count on me like you can count on God. God can be counted on all the time, every time. He is faithful. And then it says, not only is he faithful, it says, who shall establish you? If you're a saint, God is at work in your life. If you are a born-again believer, you rest assured God is at work in your life. Even if you fight against it, God is at work in your life. If you're a believer, if you're his, amen, he will establish you. Establish means to set fast. It means to cause you to become resolute or to gain some conviction. Amen. To set you in a particular direction. I am so thankful for the day that I got saved. But you know what else I'm thankful for? Is the fact that God didn't just leave me there and say, well, got that done. Moving on to the next, and we'll see you in heaven whenever you get here. Amen. No, he has been working on me ever since, amen, and he's been teaching me the Word of God, and he has surrounded me by other men and women and children that also know the Word of God that challenge me, amen, and he has set me in some things, amen, like concrete, amen, and that's just the way it is. God has convinced me of some things in the Word of God, and he has set me in a direction, and he has set me to understand and know some things so that I'm no longer wishy-washy and tossed to and fro in some areas, amen? But the Bible says that he shall establish you. And Paul is talking to the saints here in Thessalonica, and by extension, we can also understand he's referring to saints in general, that God establishes his saints. He's at work in your life. By one of the wonderful things about being a pastor, whenever I see certain saints that really... just you really want to see God do work in their life. You really want to see him grow. You want to see him put away some foolishness. You want to see him put away some immaturity and be established a little more. Here's what absolutely comforts me. I know God is at work in your life if you're a born-again believer. I don't have to come pester you. If God tells me to, I should. But I don't have to. Whether I do or not, God is at work in your life. And that is a tremendous comfort. Not only is he at work in your life, he's at work in my life. And I know he is working to establish me, to get me to see some things so that I will become convinced of his word and gain some conviction. I will say I have more conviction today on things concerning the word of God than I had 20 years ago. Amen. And by the way, hopefully, if you've been saved any length of time at all, you can look back year or two earlier, whatever, and you ought to see some growth there in your life. You ought to be able to look back and say, I used to believe that. That's crazy. Or I used to not know what I believed there, and I was unsettled here, unsettled there. But since then, God has shown me some things and got this thing nailed down. And it doesn't mean that we feel like we're nailed down now and never have to revisit it. No, God's going to constantly work that thing and make sure we're further secured, amen. But we ought to be able to look back in our lives, and we ought to be able to see where God has taken us in our foolishness and matured us some and set us with some conviction on the Word of God. Because God said that this shall happen to you if you're a saint. Amen. And so we trust God to be faithful. We also trust and know that God will establish us. And then the third thing we find here in our text is that the Lord will keep us from evil. That's found here in this third verse. It says, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Evil, I just heard someone else say it again. Evil is, just one letter away from devil. The devil is evil, amen, and that's what he's working. He's working evil. Knock the D off there, you got evil. And, it's one of these days, as saints, I believe we're going to know all the evil that God kept us from. I mean, I understand by scripture there could be a hedge about us, and I believe there is a hedge about us, amen? Where certain things, I mean, even the devil mentioned that to God about Job. He said that basically I can't do anything to Job because you put a hedge about him. And of course, we know that God did lift it to a point, but there was still a hedge. There were still boundaries. God puts boundaries around us so that, 1 Corinthians, so that we won't have more placed on us than we can bear. And he will always give us a way of escape. Always, amen. And so God knows what we can handle. Now, I think sometimes he thinks we can handle more than we think we can. Amen. But he knows us. He knows us better than we know us. Amen. And so whatever you're going through, know this, that your Father in heaven believes that you're going to be able to make it as you trust him and turn to him. And you're mature enough for that. There are some maturity aspects to this thing, amen. Growth aspects to life in general, amen. But praise the Lord, the Bible says for us as saints, the Lord will keep us from evil. There's been certain things. Sometimes I know that God just kept me from something. And I know you know the same. If you're a born-again believer, been a saint for a long time at all, you understand that God has kept you from a lot of things, amen. Maybe a device just crashing at the right time. Amen. Amen. Maybe someone that's talking to you. Amen. I don't know, just in the midst of them talking. Amen. Something happens to them and they have to go run off and do something. Phone rings. Oh, I was going to finish that story and I got to go. Perfect. God keeps us from evil. And that way, God keeps us from evil in a lot of ways. Probably kept us from evil with a flat tire. Amen. God knows how to deliver us. He knows how to deliver the godly and the ungodly. He delivers the ungodly to be dealt with, amen, and punished. And he delivers the godly from these things that would otherwise be a detriment to us. God knows what he's doing in our lives. He's faithful. It means he's trustful, trustworthy. He establishes us and he keeps us from evil. Praise the Lord for that, amen. And then third, we see in this text that Paul had confidence in the Lord's working in his saints. Look at the fourth verse there. It says, and we have confidence in the Lord. I love this, touching you. The Lord, now I know touching us isn't necessarily referring to God reaching out and physically touching, though I believe that is a possibility. But as God touches our lives, sometimes we'll pray and say, we just need a touch from heaven, amen. We just need a touch from God on this. And we know when God would touch, when Jesus Christ would touch anything on earth, it was healed, amen. It was helped. And oftentimes we just need a touch from God. But the Bible here says, Paul says in this text under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And of course, what he commanded is the word of God, became the word of God. And so it's the word of God we're talking about. And so Paul had confidence in the Lord's touch on the saints to move them to do what God commands us to do. Again, the onus is on God in reference to his saints. God is at work in the life of you and I as believers. And if you know a saint and they're not, I mean, they're struggling, they're not where they need to be, they're involved in things they shouldn't be involved in, they're all that, man, just go to praying, amen. Talk to God about it. Make sure God knows you're available to help as he directs, and you don't want to help if he doesn't direct, amen, because he'll just get in the way and mess things up. But we are confident in the Lord's touch on the lives of his people, amen. And sometimes, all the time, it seems like it's not fast enough for our economy, but it's always perfect timing from God's perspective, as so many things intertwine in people's lives and he dealt with before something else comes in. God is perfect in this. And Paul's confidence was not in the saints. My confidence is not in you, nor should your confidence be in me. Our confidence is in the Lord, amen. That's where our confidence lies. That's where our boldness comes from. It's in his word and in his active touch in our lives. That's where our confidence must be. And then we find in this text that it says in this fifth verse, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." So how does the Lord direct our hearts as he touches us? Two things are mentioned here. He directs us to walk in the love of God. He directs us to the love of God. And the love of God is an amazing, giving, charitable type love. It's a caring for people even beyond ourselves. This love of God, loving God for who he is and loving God for not only who he is, but the very essence there that then we can be a partaker of, as Brother Luke's been teaching on Sunday nights in reference to the divine nature, us being a partaker of that same divine nature so that we, listen, I said this before, I don't believe anybody on earth is capable of loving as God loves until they're saved. The agape type love, there's a phileo, there's an eros love, there's another, but agape love, nobody, God is love, amen? And the source of that type of love is not found within you and me. It's not found in the soil, amen? It's not found at the supermarket or in the White House. It is found in God, amen? And we didn't love him first. He loved us, and that enabled us then to then reciprocate that and love him in return. That type of love is from God and poured out into his people, and then we're supposed to walk in it. Amen? We can't walk in it if God hasn't given it to us yet. And God is not pouring out his love on the world that is lost. He loves them. God so loved the world. But you must be born again before you're going to receive that love. That's what 1 John says. And so that love of God. And so he says here in this text of verse 5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." So if you're born again, you have it. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have the love of God dwelling in you. And so Paul is talking about the Lord. He directs our hearts back into that love. Amen? That's why whenever you feel justified by being offended towards somebody, and you start thinking on that thing, the Lord just tears you up. Amen? And he causes us to focus on what Jesus Christ did for us, which is the basis of all forgiveness for a saint. Amen? And so he directs us back to the love of God. And what does that do? Man, it causes us to feel like, you know, shoe leather for being offended towards somebody. And then it moves us to get that thing right. And by the way, if you're not a saint, if you're not born again, you don't know what that's like. But if you're born again, you know exactly what I just described in that process. Amen? Because the Lord is going to direct us back to the love of God. And he's going to direct our heart there. And then next we find that he is directing us into a patient waiting for Christ. Patience means to be consistent. It means to be constant. Oh, that we would have some consistency as much as possible in this day that we live. And I know that we live in a very inconsistent day all around us. But I praise the Lord for the people in my life that have just been consistent, that you can count on. No matter what is going on, you know that they are the same person. Nothing seems to knock them off kilter. They're just trusting God through thick and thin. You find out what's going on in their life, and they're like, man, I never knew that you were going through that. Of course you didn't, because they're just the real deal. It's never about them. They're just consistent. They're pointing people to Jesus. They're not big drama people. They don't want to cause a stir in that way, amen. They're just patient. They're just patient, waiting for Christ and being consistent all along the way, amen. And so it says here that the Lord direct our hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Jesus Christ. Now, we trust God to do his part. According to these promises found in his word, even in this text. But Paul specifically asked the Thessalonians to labor with him. While God is at work in all of this that we saw, verses 2 through 5, God is at work. No doubt about it. No matter what's happening in your life, I guarantee you this, if you're a born-again believer in Christ, God is at work in your life. And you can't stop it. Isn't that wonderful? That's what Hebrews 12 says, right? And so we know God is at work. He's going to do his part. But Paul asked these of Thessalonica to do something for him. Back up to verse 1. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us. It's a simple request. Paul didn't need those of Thessalonica to do what God was already doing. I think sometimes as saints, we feel like we need other people to do some of these things. But the reality is, we already have God at work in our lives in these areas. God's freed us up to focus on something else. And there are some ministering things that we can do as saints. And Paul nails this first one that we can all do for each other. We can pray for each other. While we're trusting God to do his part, and he does, and he is. While he's doing that, Paul said, now you, let's pray for a few things. He said, first, pray for us. Specifically, pray for us in that when the word of God goes out, that it has free course. That's amazing. That we're effective in bringing forth the word of God. And number two, that the word of God, as it goes forth, it's glorified. Not my words, the word of God. That the word of God goes out, free course, and that the word of God is glorified. And then it also says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men which have not faith. That we might be delivered in every aspect of our life. The last thing any of us need is to be bound up in our lives by wicked and unreasonable men. Sometimes those wicked and unreasonable men are in our family. Amen? Everybody has those family members that are lost somewhere down the line. Maybe not in your immediate home. Maybe they are. Maybe not. Maybe they live 3 states away. I don't know. But with the internet and with the phone, they're not that far away. We need to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men that don't have faith. Because what they do is they wrap us up. We need delivered because they've taken us captive. They've harangued us, if you will. And they take all of our attention. And they keep us from being who we need to be for in God's economy. And they suck the life out of us, amen? And they just beat on us and mock and make fun and just absolutely just drain us. And so Paul said, pray, the word of God has free course. As it's brought forth, it's unhindered. Man, it's like a laser, buddy. It just leaves our lips and right there to where it needs to go, amen. I mean unhindered, nothing stopping it, that the word of God just goes right to the heart of the matter, amen. And then pray the word of God is glorified, it's received, it's held in esteem, that it's not mocked, but that people will actually see it for what it is, special, it's precious, amen. It needs to be held. And then lastly, he said, pray that we're delivered from those that want to hurt us, that want to keep us from being who God wants us to be. That's our part. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. And I thank you for the opportunity tonight to preach this text. And God, if there's one thing that we can do for each other, it's this right here. God, we can pray, just like Paul asked prayer for in these areas. We can pray that as we have opportunity with others, that the word of God, it goes straight to where it needs to go, unhindered, and that when it gets there, it's glorified, that it's honored, it's esteemed, it's received, and it accomplishes what it needs to accomplish in a person's life. And then also, thirdly, he asked those of Thessalonica to pray that he would be freed up from those that want to do him harm, that want to trip him up and keep him from being able to do what God, you've called him. And by extension, we could say the same, God, that we should be praying for each other in these ways. And I pray, Father, that you would help us in this area to take on this ministering to the saints. God, we need this. God, we definitely need to be praying, Lord, for each other. And specifically, these three things are amazing that we could adopt into our prayer time for each other, Lord, just based on this text. And so, God, help us with this. And as we go to prayer tonight here in a moment, in a bit, God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to keep this in focus and not lose this little outline directly from the text on how we can pray for each other, God, in the ministry. God, thank you, Lord. Help us with this, I pray, and I'll thank you, and the people will thank you, and all those that hear will thank you, God, for what you do in this message. God, we love you now and ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen.